mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner mindfulness that you have developed. Then the inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. You have to use it to develop the daily mindfulness until very stable. Okay, now we continue from where we stopped. Heart Sutta, page, I think we finish page 88. Yeah, we're supposed to be at page. Oh, we didn't finish 88. I think last paragraph, isn't it? Okay, I will. Sui, the other one, come. You come and read. Where's the other wireless mic? Come. Okay, give it to her. You can sit here. You read. We stop at page 88, I think. 3.1. Sometime. Yes. Start from there.
Sometimes the hindrances of mind can still come in to disturb your mind states. So do not react or stir your mind via delusion. Just let things be and let it settle back to its natural original state of stillness and inner peace. Then you will always be happy and at peace. Have the wisdom to see things as they are and understand all these clearly. Then one day you will come to understand that as long as the true mind within does not stir and create thoughts via one's own delusion to think or react, then the mind will always be peaceful. The wanting to react or to be calm and peaceful via the thought is a delusion.
You understand this sentence now? Very important. You understand very good. Because it appears contradictory, isn't it? You want to react or to be calm and peaceful, which is normal people will do, understand or not? Because when you meditate, you are not peaceful. So what you want? I want to be peaceful. I want to be calm. You off your mic first for a while. So the one thing to react, because you find that your meditation is not taking you anywhere. So too many people, they do this, they thought it's normal. But why did I say, when you do all this, via the thought, it's a delusion. Because this one is not understanding. This one is the thought one, understand or not? When the thought one, there is craving. Why does it want to react? Because it is in conflict, understand or not? It cannot get what it wants. So he thinks, if I'm not peaceful, I'm not calm, I try to do something, I will be peaceful, I will be calm. And the trying is a craving, a desire, a sensual desire, a mental hindrance. So how can you be calm and peaceful? You see the point or not? So the one thing is a craving. The one thing to be calm, to be peaceful, or the one thing to react, to change that mind state, via the thought. If you use the thought, the egoic mind arise, you cannot, because that is craving itself. That's why I say it's a delusion, and I separate out with inverted comma. So this is very important. Then down the next paragraph, you continue. Yes.
It says this part, true mind within does not stir and create thoughts.
Yes.
So this means the true mind.
Yeah. When you are with the true mind, not with the thought, it cannot stir. Correct or not? You can understand or not? But because you are not with the true mind, That's why that fellow, the mundane mind, want to do things. And the one thing is a craving. And who want? The thought want. When thought is active, how can you become peaceful and aware? You are gone. You are not with the true mind. Okay, continue.
The one thing will create the stirring of the mind, because this mind, via the thought, will try to control and suppress its negative emotions or lack of peace, thinking that it is bad, via not understanding that the controller is the control. When the mind is in sati, there is no thought. That is, thought ceases. So just relax and silence the mind to be with the moment in silent inner awareness, and do not try to do anything, because the doing is by the thought that will cause the stirring of the mind again. So the thought, which is the controller, tries to control thought, thus explaining why J. Krishnamurti said the controller is the control.
Yeah, very important. Huh? So you use this one.
Okay.
So I explain a bit. Huh? Do you understand this statement? The controller is the control. Huh? The controller is the control. When I say, you. When in the meditation you verbalize, what will happen? Yeah. What will happen? You want to do something in there. So who do? When you verbalize, it's the thought. So the thought say, I am not peaceful. My mind is heedless, wandering off, thinking. So what you want to do? Yeah. You want to stop it from thinking in there. True or not? You want to stop it from wandering off in there. So what you do? You want to control that thought, isn't it? So who control? The thought want to control. And what are you trying to control? The wandering thought, understand? So what are you doing? Thought is trying to control thought. That's why Krishnamurti is the controller, is the control. How can you do that? You see the point, huh? So wake up. When you are aware, you see the foolishness in doing all these things. Because the thought itself doesn't understand when he is active, when he is heedless, because of the delusion and the wrong thought, it will think, understand? It will wander off. Like the kid who doesn't understand, you say, boy, don't go out. What happened? He will want to rebel when go out, isn't it? The moment you're not around, he run out already, understand? This thought is worse than your boy. You around also, he run out. Understand? So what are you going to do? So see it clearly that the controller is a control. I can never use thought to control thought. Understand? When I use thought, thought is active. Then I am not aware anymore. You see the point? So when you are not aware, how can you bring the thought under the control? The boy will only listen when you give him the answer or the solution that is stupid to go out. Because you go out, you don't study, your future is gone. When he understands it, he sees the importance of not going out, using the time properly to study so that his future is bright. He has an incentive to stay there. True or not? It's just like the dog. You say, sit. What did the dog do? He don't understand. You say sit, he is not English educated. Understand? Your dog doesn't understand what is sit. So he run. You get angry, you go and whack him. He don't understand. But if a trainer is very smart, he say, sit, then he show the dog like that. Then the dog look at you with the tongue, ta 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 ta. Then, okay, he also kneel down. Oh, you say good. Then you go and feed him something. And then the dog understand. If I listen to the owner, he is nice to me, he feed me. I happy, he also happy, understand? So your mind is the same. When it understands that if I train this mind, and this mind understand that when I train you, you will be peaceful. Then what happened? Like the dog. If I listen to my master, then I will be happy, the master will be happy, then I'm at peace. Then the thought understand. That's why the thought realize itself and does not become deluded anymore because the wisdom behind tells the thought. It's like the trainer of the dog train the dog, and the dog understand. That's why when you train the mind until the mind is trained, the mind listen to you. You understand? It's like the dog listen to you, understand? When he listen to you, he's happy, he got fit, understand? And he can be like a hero, understand? Well, the master always say, good. You throw the bone, run. Bring the bone back. Then you say, good. You stroke the hair. They can feel you, understand? Love. Thank you. So this analogy is very good. So when you understand the controller is the controller, no point doing this, you need to let the thought understand. The moment the thought understand, that the moment thought sees, the awareness is there. Then you are at peace. Then the thought very happy. No need to do anything and my owner is happy. Understand? So this is where meditator go wrong. They cannot see this. The controller is the control. Who is controlling? The thought. Thought-based meditation got this problem. You can understand? Yeah, very good. So when you see this, don't be foolish anymore. Then why do you want to react, want to stir? Because you don't understand. When thought is deluded, they become egoic. Once they become egoic, what happens? You want to own things, possess things. The greed come in. Then you become emotional, unhappy. You stir your mind. You get yourself into trouble. That's how the thought becomes emotional, craving. And when the thought has craving, there is one thing. There is desire. There is the evil root. That's why it can never be peaceful. Because the egoic mind, which is the thought, is limited. It don't have awareness. It cannot develop the wisdom. It cannot understand. Like the boy, so young, he cannot understand. He just want to play. Understand? That's why they say very easy to learn bad habit. Opine, how long you take? 3 days. To learn to be good, how long it take? What, 3 years? Sometimes for eternity. In Cantonese, there is a saying, what is it? What is it? What is it? Sin hok wai me? No. I forgot already. No. it's like easier to learn the bad habit, Zhong mei tai xia sin hok wai. Understand? Before you grow up, you become naughty. Boy become naughty very fast. Get into trouble, that only he learn. If you don't get into trouble, whatever you tell him or advise him, he choy little no, he make noise at you and run. But when he fell already, then that time he will listen to you. You know why you fell? You not obedient lah. You think you hero. That's what happened to my son. He make face to my mother. Yeah, he don't like my mother. My mother control him. Understand? My mother says, sit means sit down. No. Otherwise, he cane you. That's why he discipline him. So, my wife go to work, I go to work. Nobody to protect him. What happened? Sit lah. Eat lah. Then he wait for the moment my wife come back. You know what I did? He go and make face to my mother. And that type of face, you know, the kid made face. And the karma show it to him, where he also got paramia. So I took him to the club swimming pool, the Shah Alam Club, last time I government servant. You know what happened? He fell. He fell, and his face become like exactly how he make to my mother. Wow, I love her. I knew the condition there. So I said, come, don't worry, don't cry. Never mind. So I took him to the changing room. I said, you look at the mirror. Well, then he saw the bleeding. I said, do you know what is this? this is when you do this one to your papa, now karma you kena back exactly like that. Oh, from that day onward, he did not do it. Understand? No? They learn, they're willing to listen when they got problem. Otherwise, you know our kid, cook everything ready. Ask him to come now and eat. You know how difficult? No? Boy, sick fun. Yeah lah. Then you go call second time. Yeah lah, I know lah. Understand? No? Because pampered, take for granted. So what my mother do was very easy. Nine of us, we got time for you. You didn't come back, he keep all the food, man. Then sometimes you come back, bone also don't have the fish. Then you come back, you ask, mommy, nothing more to eat? Go and cook yourself. You should tell your kid like that. The next time he very punctual, he will be at the table. Nowadays, the kid become what? They some more complain. No? They come down, they don't want to eat, they want to go and order what? Tapa one, what you call that? Now they got pandas. Delivery. They go and complain what? Maybe every day like that one. No new food. You don't know how to cook better one. Your kid tell you. Then some more he make face. Cannot. Today cannot eat. Like that. I think we go back to there. Or we go dim sum. Or we go that restaurant. They can suggest to you some more. But as they grow up, they don't want to follow you. You book them also no use. Understand? They think, but me, I'm not free. But my kid didn't do that. Because they got their friend. Understand? And they don't want to follow you up. We follow you out, must obey you. Understand? Don't follow you out, can do what they like. So this is reality. So when you understand, you have to understand. No condition to teach you cannot. You wait till they make mistake. Wait till they get into trouble. And that is the time to teach. So now you know. Not ready, you teach. They say, Tao Hui. Understand? You yourself, because your kid don't listen to you. What happened? Like my dad, Dharma friend, he said, the two monkeys at the house is the only one that can make her miserable. Because she got the Dhamma. The other thing cannot make me miserable, but this two monkey make her miserable. So this is Dhamma. So this section, I will let my daughter continue to read. Then you understand. Okay.
When one understands that the natural state of mind before the stirring is stillness without thought, then meditation becomes very simple. Just like the case of swimming. Take for example swimming. If we understand that the natural state of our body is already buoyant because it is lighter than water, then why do we need to learn how to float?
Understand? Why do you learn how to float? Because you don't know how to float, understand? So you say you don't know how to become mindful, understand? You learn to be mindful. So you try to be mindful. Exactly like this. Because you don't know your natural state, buoyancy, is lighter than water. No need to learn, understand or not? Just have confidence. Allow your body to sink. Go into the pool. Then what happened? The buoyancy, which is the upthrust from the water, that one, once it hit the weight, the upthrust hit the weight of your body, it is able to push it up because you are lighter than water. Then you float. Then when you realize, I don't need to do anything, I just trust, it float. So swimming is like that. When you understand, no need to learn how to float, understand or not? Because you are lighter than water. Like the fish, must learn how to swim or not. The fish is already the fish, understand or not? That's why it doesn't learn, it just swim. Then when you realize you can float naturally because you are lighter than water, then to swim, what you do? Just move your hand and limbs, understand or not? Then swimming becomes very easy. The problem with people who don't know how to swim is they struggle because they want to struggle to keep afloat. They don't understand that by nature they are lighter than water. This is the problem. So meditation is the same. Your mind, natural state before the stirring, is already the meditative state. Then why must you go and stir the mind and focus, control, do all those things and make the mind not peaceful. That is delusion, isn't it? So read on, then you understand.
Just let go and don't do anything and trust that your natural state of your body is buoyant. Then your body will just float via not doing anything. But instead, most people struggle in the water trying to keep afloat, and in the process sink and drink water because of their fear and lack of understanding or delusion. So similarly in meditation, if we understand that the natural state of mind is already the meditative state of silent inner awareness without thought, then we just let things be and don't do anything, and the mind will settle down to its natural state of peace, tranquility and stillness on its own, just like the swimming analogy.
So is it clear now? So when you meditate, don't do anything. That is the third way that the Buddha teach. Just aware. Then you will understand many, many things. Okay, continue.
Once you realize that you can float without doing anything or holding on to any float, then swimming becomes very simple and easy because you just move to swim without having to worry about learning how to float anymore. The float is just like your object of meditation, which is just a skillful means to help you to train your mind to be heedful, or in the case of the float, to assist you to float. So now you start to see and understand that as long as you are dependent on the float to swim, then you will never understand what the real swimming is without the float. So in a similar way, as long as you are still holding on to an object of meditation or a mantra or nothing,
nothing.
Something, then you will not understand what the actual meditative mind is. So now you understand why finally one still needs to drop the use of any meditation object or skillful means used to train their mind. Just like swimming, why must you learn how to float when your natural state of your body is already buoyant, which is a fact which you can't understand initially due to your delusion? Understand that your natural state of mind is already the meditative state, which is without thought, in perfect, pure awareness and stillness. Then meditation becomes very simple and very straightforward, and you will know how to meditate without delusion anymore. To me, after several years of serious meditative investigation, I have come to realize one very important truth or understanding with regards to meditation. That is, we need to understand what meditation is instead of clinging to meditation techniques, methods and teachers, because a technique or method, which is a series of instructions to do certain things, never defines the meditation. Maybe it can act as an initial aid, like a float, to assist you initially to learn how to swim and float. But to really know how to swim, you must let go of the float and believe that your body can float and reach a natural state of balance or buoyancy if you don't try to do anything. That is, let go completely and you will float. Then swimming becomes very natural and easy. Our mind is more or less the same. That is, its natural state is already the meditative state in stillness. So just stay silent mentally and don't do anything. Don't even try to use the mind, which is a thought, to meditate, to disrupt the natural state, because the thinking mind, which is egoic and thought-based, cannot meditate to realize the Dharma or truth, which is akaliko, timeless and beyond thought. Because of ignorance, not knowing what truth is, the thinking mind is conditioned via its own wrong view and habitual tendencies to constantly arise the mental activities or heedless thinking sankhara, leading to the arising of the respective mental consciousness, vijnanang, that supports the arising of the five mental aggregates of form and mind, nama rupa, hence triggering off the whole chain of dependent origination, leading to dukkha finally. When you understand that meditation is... When you understand what meditation is, then you will naturally know how to meditate at any place, any time, and under any circumstances, and you will not be constrained or deluded by your attachment to methods, techniques, and teachers. Basing on the analogy of the handful of leaves by the Buddha, it is pretty obvious that the Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation, Because according to the Buddha, there is this fourth noble truth that states clearly that the path leading to the cessation of dukkha or realization of nibbana is the noble eightfold path. So just silence your mind and be heedful. To cultivate the noble eightfold path via the seven stages of purification and the three turnings of the four noble truths as taught by the Buddha. Hope the above explanation will clear all your doubts and enable you to meditate correctly with the right understanding.
So it's already very clear. So read through this passage and develop the understanding, then you know how to meditate. Okay, continue.
Question 2. Brother Teo, you are the only teacher who asks us to silence our mind and stay at the heart area. But why no monks or texts ever advise us to focus on the heart area?
So this is a very, very interesting question. Well, in the olden day, I was told, you all have heard of this or not? If you focus on your heart, you get scolding from the monk. You heard of this before? You cannot this type of experience? Because they say you are not supposed to focus there. That's why nobody teach you to focus on the heartbeat. I never ask you to focus, no. I say stay at the heart. Relax, silent. And aware. Then you will locate the gateway. Because this one, very few people understand. Anyway, you listen to my answer. You let Sui read it out to you.
Brother Teo answered, "Don't worry about what others say. Just investigate and find out for yourself. Do not quote me saying anything, because you may not understand what I mean. Then you may get me and yourself into trouble unnecessarily. If you are not careful, then you may end up arguing with them over methods and techniques again. Just say, Brother Teo only share his Dhamma understanding with us, so no right, no wrong, and we as Dhamma friends or Kalyana Mitas, just make use of whatever that is useful and conducive for our own cultivation. It is just his sincere way of sharing the Dhamma. And as Dhamma friends who walk the path of Dhamma, we are here to sincerely support, motivate, counsel, and help each other to progress along the path of Dhamma without resorting to any inappropriate negativity of action, speech, and thought.
Isn't that very beautiful? Karina, no need to argue, understand? Just tell them the truth. What I told you. And then, if they want to find out more, you say you better attend the class. And now you better go to the website and read for yourself. That is better, isn't it? So no conflict. You resolve it amicably. Then if he asks further, or she asks further, you say, yeah, I benefited a lot. But when you say that, make sure you know how to explain. Understand? Then they ask, oh, you see, how you benefit? Don't know. Then it's not sincere. But you can say it now. Last time I was so heedless, I don't know what to do, I don't know how to take care of karma. That's why my life like that. You start like that, he will look at you. Now your life better. Yeah, a lot better. No more of this playing the game of suffering. You know how to talk like that. You become beautiful. Then you truly kayanmita. Understand? Continue.
I only advise those who have developed the ability to silence their mind and rest their awareness at the heart area to feel the gateway to their nature if they have penetrated the direct seeing and stabilized their daily mindfulness. This meditation is only done by those who have developed the silent mind in pure awareness or sati. Without thought, after they have stabilized their daily mindfulness or anapanasati, and also for those who have trained their mind until their mindfulness is so subtle and fine that they can hardly feel anything. This is the state where a lot of meditators get trapped and stagnate because they don't understand what is happening. Some master or teacher will ask them to do the sitting and touching, etc. But if they understand what is happening, they should stop doing those things, just like what I have explained under question 1 above. The reason being, the meditator has reached a state where their bodily vibrations have become so much finer and subtler. Hence, they need to develop the more refined sati or mindfulness to stabilize their mind so that their mind is able to stay still and silent on its own without the need for any dwelling or object of meditation. that is mind in sati without any anchor.
Mind in sati without any anchor. That is the real one. Means the mind doesn't have to dwell anywhere. It's on its own, mindful. Means the mind has entered sati. That is what tranquility is all about. Stillness of mind is all about. The silent mind is all about. But the first time you realize it, it is not stable. Well, you don't know what that thing is. Suddenly, the awareness is aware of the silence. Then what happened? Your thought come in. Your mundane mind come in. Curious. Oh, what is that? How come like that one? Then the next time, you want to look for that. You think it can happen or not? Who is looking for that? The thought. When the thought is actively craving to have that silent mind. That's why you cannot get it. That one will come about naturally when the thought cease. When you know how to relax, silent, and let it be. Let it return to its original state. And then that thing arises. Means when the clouds are all dispersed, when the thinking is all stopped, when the emotion, when the mind state, sankhara, all stopped. Then that nature shine forth. Because that nature was there all the while, unborn. The pure awareness was there all the while, your true mind. When you are born as a baby, it's already there. But you don't know. Because you have been using the thought for so long. And everything you depend on thought. That's why you are an expert in thought. Then, when you become expert, what happened? You think a lot. You worry a lot. Before enlightened, you should think the wrong thought. When you think the wrong thought, what happened? It will condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, and suffering, isn't it? And this is what is happening to most people. We are living beings who don't have the understanding, wisdom, and not able to meditate until the true mind arises. They will not experience that type of free mind, the true peace. Most of them get it through what? Through retreat condition. Through focusing, make the mind calm. And most of them didn't get it through mindfulness. Understand? Even they say they do anapanasati. Actually, they are doing focusing on the breath. Understand? That is not anapanasati. That is concentrating, focusing. Then even those who do anapanasati, went into sati, then they like the calm state so much, they went into continuous mindfulness until it went into apana samadhi. The mind gets absorbed inside. It's not a free mind again. So that one is not the real sati. That one is a conditioned state of continuous mindfulness, no thought, just aware. But it held on by energy field. So that one also is a trap. I was trapped in the early years when I did the anapanasati excessively, very strongly. That's why later on when I met my teacher, Ajahn, I realized, he said, the highest meditation is to be aware. Aware of what? Every movement, every action in the present moment. Then I realized I haven't done this type of real meditation or highest meditation. That's why I release my anapanasati out. Then I go into normal awareness, daily mindfulness. Then I realized, without anapanasati, split second the thought went out. No. Split second the thought went out. No. Oh, then I say, this is the real meditation which I haven't done yet. No. That's why after that I determined to be aware. No. Then my teacher say, who want to promise? Straight away without hesitation I put up hand. Then he said, you promised the Buddha, you didn't promise me. Oh. Then if you promise the Buddha, you cannot lie, you must keep it. So, no different. When I determine, I determine. So, within 2 weeks, together with the bowing from Shen Huawan, the mindfulness came. That's why the whole training, the whole understanding, the whole meditation become different. That's how I develop it. Okay? We read on.
To realize this state, they must silence everything and stay at a heart area to detect the gateway to connect to their nature within, so that their sati can become more refined and stable. Then when they have stabilized their sati this way, they will suddenly realize that they will be able to be mindful of even the very subtle breathing or fine vibrations within their heart area and every movement of mind within their kaya, via this awareness or sati is like greatly magnified and in slow motion, but with a lot of clarity within. All of the movements are like broken down into a lot of very fine movements in between. When this stage of cultivation is reached, the mind is very mindful most of the time, in and out of meditation. Even in their daily life, their daily mindfulness will be very different, very clear and stable, with little or no thought most of the time, and they are constantly aware. A mind in sati is always aware of sense experiences, every hearing, seeing, thinking, etc., with a lot of clarity, and everything is like a flow. That is the mind and phenomenon coming together as one, in perfect harmony and synchrony. The meditation using trust is needed when one is able to detect the gateway to their nature within, and this is usually cultivated only by those going the Bodhisattva way, leading to Buddhahood. For more details, please listen to the recorded talk.
Yeah. Chapter 25. Continue, yes.
25th Heart Sutra class, meditation class by Brother Teo Kien Kun at Wu Pin Ching Se on 23rd September 2012, time 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Short notes taken to assist in developing a clearer and better understanding of the sutta discussed. Part 1, recapitulation and emphasis on the previous lesson. 1.1. If you have delusion, you will grasp and cling. Nothing can free you except wisdom. When there is wisdom, the mind is always free and at ease, because it is no longer deluded by sense experiences. The mind is always peaceful and calm, and it will not stir anymore. Thought-based meditation cannot develop the penetrative insight or wisdom to liberate the mind, because the Dhamma is akaliko, timeless, beyond thought and time. And pachatang can only be realized by the wise each for themselves. The Mahayana analogy of finger pointing towards the moon is very important. The Dhamma is like the finger pointing towards the truth, which is the enlightenment. So to really see the moon, one must look or gaze beyond the finger. Similarly, to realize enlightenment, one must see beyond the Dhamma and not cling onto the Dhamma. If you attach or cling onto the Dhamma, then your mind cannot be free because it is still holding on to something. Hence, not a free mind. A good example is Sun Siu, who always clings onto the wholesome Dhamma and tries to push away the unwholesome Dhamma via his constantly polishing of his mind until it shines so that no dust can alight. He has failed to realize the true mind because he mistakenly or deludedly clings onto the mundane mind, taking it to be the true mind. This delusion has conditioned him to cling onto the wholesome and unwholesome Dhammas, or duality, created by his own discriminating mind. But Hui Neng, the sixth patriarch, who has transcended the Dhamma and realized the true mind, is no longer deluded. Hence, he can understand that originally there is nothing. So where can dust alight? That is, if there is no discriminative mind with delusion to divide the Dhamma into wholesome and unwholesome, for it to grasp and cling on to, then there will be no dust, which are the defilements or the unwholesome Dhamma. Hence, no more problem or doing is needed anymore because wisdom frees. Mind creates true consciousness following the 12 links. Consciousness is just mental images, hence not so real and empty. And because it is constantly arising and passing away, following nature's conditions, we will be able to awaken to its anicca impermanence, dukkha, suffering state, and anatta, non-self, universal characteristics, if we can just be silently aware within via a choiceless awareness of what is.
What is the reality. So when you are completely silent, the silent mind can awaken. It no need thought, no need knowledge, nothing. It just silently observes through awareness. And because the awareness is such, when it moves, it awakens. It can like insight into. It just understand. You know what is just understand? Some meditator or some, especially Westerner, they got no word to say. They call it what? The aha experience. Understand? You heard of that? The aha experience. Suddenly they understand. So you go and use the thought, when can I aha? Then you meditate. I think coming already, coming already, coming. Then suddenly the rain, thunder, prong, oh, aha already. Go out, see water. So don't be gullible. The aha can only happen when there is no mind inside there. When the true mind is just silent, aware, then you have to be aware, fully aware, understand? That's how you aware until you can be with the moment of its arising of every phenomena, then it's sustained and it's passing away. Because I inquire, if truth is everywhere, why can't I see? I just inquire like that. And you know what happened? After that, I maintain mindfulness. Then all of a sudden, you know what happened? I saw this piece of paper flying off from the highway where I was driving. Then I was very attentive, mindful. Then all of a sudden, that you know when your car passed by, that type of wind or whatever, then the piece of paper come out through its natural flow. Then the awareness of it, then you start to understand. Then it just awakened. No wonder. That thing, the moment of arising of the phenomena, then the mind was fully within, it's sustained. Then after that, it stopped, ceased. Then I realized, no wonder, the whole thing is there, truth is everywhere. They are impermanent nature, understand? If you attach and cling one way, otherwise you will suffer. And because it is impermanent, it's not real, it's empty. Non-self, you cannot hold, you cannot cling. Nature is like that. Then the other one that triggered off was when one of my teachers, he was teaching that Singaporean. He said, you look, So I was at the side, because I already have my daily mindfulness. She just moved her hand. Now you see whether you can get it or not. She just moved her hand like that. Then she moved again. He asked him, what do you see? The moment she moved her hand, I awakened to the three characteristics. Just like that. You think I meditate? I was just aware, finished. Then I realized, before he moved, the phenomenon was not there. Then the moment this movement, means the mind that is aware, saw the creation arise already, understand? Then when it moves again, what happened? Cease already. Another one arises already. That's why the birth and death, arising and passing away. And I realize every phenomenon in this universe is like that. Whether physical, mental, nature. Then you link everything out now. No wonder, truth is everywhere. Why can't you? Then after that, very funny. Everything I come to perceive or be aware, all have this characteristic. That's why I realize truth is everywhere. No wonder people cannot see. For those who see, they always see. Because I just make the inquiry, why can't you see? And I realize you have to be completely silent and aware without word. Then you see. Then you awaken. That's why truth can only be awakened too. It's not a knowledge. You cannot learn it. Wisdom cannot be learned. Okay? Continue. See.
1.2. Forehead is where the brain is. So if we live from there, then it is mainly thought-based, giving rise to mainly knowledge only. Heart is where the nature of awareness is. So if we live from there, we will use it mainly to feel and be aware intuitively to arise the wisdom via the direct seeing. When the mind is chattering or thinking, then it is preoccupied with those activities. Hence, it is not silent and not aware anymore to see things as they are. Active thinking will make one heedless, that is lost in thoughts. Hence, no real wisdom can arise.
So now you understand why thought-based meditation can never realize the truth. Go on.
To have wisdom, one must develop the ability to be aware and listen from the heart without the interference from the brain's conditioned thinking, views and opinions. thought-based living leads to heedlessness and a lot of negativities, whereas awareness or sati-based living from the heart leads to wisdom. Therefore, stay in the heart. Have love and be loved always. Without the daily mindfulness, there is no real meditation, because wisdom can only come from the direct seeing via the silent mind in pure awareness. Heedless thinking throughout the day develops strong negative habitual tendencies. To overcome this heedlessness, one must develop the 5 spiritual faculties to counter the 5 mental hindrances of the mind. The mind sweeping method to only feel, no thinking, and relax is also a very useful technique to decondition the mind from its daily heedless thinking via allowing the mind to settle back to its natural state of silence and stillness. Every moment of feel and relax will allow us to relax any tension, tightness, or stress within our body more and more. With a relaxed physical body, it will condition the mind to be at ease and relaxed as well. Also, the meditative mind is just aware, silent, and without thought. So the pure awareness or essence of mind before the knowing is the meditative mind. Dhammapada verses 23. The constantly meditative, the ever mindful, and the steadfast ones realize the bond-free supreme Nibbana.
So this one is what heedfulness is all about. Eh? So heedfulness got 2 parts. Constantly meditative and ever mindful. You stick to these 2 steadfastly, you will realize Nibbana. That is what Dhammapada verse 23 is all about. And this is what heedfulness is all about. So to be heedful, you need to be ever mindful. If you want to be ever mindful, what must you do? Train your mind to be mindful first. That is what meditation is all about. Then stabilize it. Can follow? If you are doing this, then you are doing meditation. Otherwise, you are not. But if you already trained, no need to do this anymore. Like anapanasati, if the mindfulness is already there, it has become pasati, the silent mind is already there, meditative mind, then no need to train already, understand? No? Means you already trained. The mind is already in sati, like the fish, already know how to swim. You somehow need to train the fish how to swim or not? No need, understand? No? So when you already train, you meditate straight away. Then you are so stable in the mindfulness until throughout the day, in your daily life, in the midst of life and career, you can be mindful. Then you meditate the whole day, understand? No? Whenever you are awake, eh? Like that day, where do we read from? Eh? There is a what reflection is there? Eh? What was it? This Metta Sutta, Karaniya Metta Sutta. Eh? Eh? One part of it. Yeah? On mindfulness, last part. The highest conduct. The last part. We went through. That's why you must have this. Otherwise, you cannot. Whenever you are awake, you have to have mindfulness. That is inside the Karaniya Metta Sutta. So, within your waking moment, you must be mindful. When you stabilize it, it must be heedful. If it's not ever mindful, it can never be heedful. So, not until you can be mindful, in a very stable state, in the midst of life, that is only the beginning of the real satipatthana practice, or real meditation. Yeah. So these are all very clearly stated, and I have repeated in various sections of the sharing. That's why after that, I told Ms. Lee, no need to make notes already. Why? You have enough Dhamma already, understand? Just refer to the Heart Sutta. Even before the book come out, I already predicted and told them, I tell you, this book come out, it will revolutionize the understanding of meditation. A lot of people who read will understand. And it's so clear. Nothing abstract and esoteric, is it? Even your normal mundane mind can understand this, is it? Once it's pointed out to you, it's so clear, is it? You can only do one thing at a time. But nobody tell you that. That's why you don't know. Then the moment you are thinking means you are lost in thought, preoccupied with that thinking. Then how can you be aware? And you keep on talking about mindfulness. I'm mindful. Lost in thoughts about don't know, mindful. Because you're using thought to be mindful. That's why you don't understand. And you use thought to meditate and say you are cultivating mindfulness. You are cultivating vipassana. And the most funny joke is vipassana cannot be cultivated. Do you understand that statement? Who cultivate? The thought cultivate. How can the thought cultivate vipassana? Vipassana is the two words, vi and passana. Understand? What is vi? The three characteristics. Understand that? Anicchang, dukkha, anatta. Then passana is to insight into. That's why nu is contemplate. Then passana, contemplate and insight into the characteristic. So vipassana is to insight into the three characteristics of impermanence, suffering state, and non-self or empty nature, anicchang, dukkha, anatta. So if it's something that you have to insight into, how can you cultivate? You understand or not? Because it's not something you practice, then the wisdom come, understand or not? The wisdom is the moment you have, you already awaken. As long as the wisdom is not there, like yoni, so manasikara, you cannot deal. You cannot practice. Understand? The practicing is to train. Understand? Then after that, when the mind is silent already, in the state of awareness, then don't use it to arise the thought anymore. That one can have the direction. It can insight. So vipassana is to be insight into. Understand? Because it's passana. Insight into the three universal characteristics. So when you understand that, you are not gullible anymore. You don't practice vipassana. Vipassana cannot be practiced. Vipassana is to insight, to be insight into, to be realized. It's a universal characteristic. You follow or not? How can you practice to see? No amount of practice can see the three, what they call universal characteristic. But you say through your cultivation, then when you have the condition ready, and then you can insight into the universal characteristic and awaken. That one possible, but not practice. What is practice? Repetitive. Understand? Keep on repeating. That one to train is very good. If you want to train your mind, you have to, like anapanasati, train, repeat it, bow, repeat it, until the thing come. When the sati come, no need to train already. Understand? No need to practice already. Like you already know how to ride bicycle. Already very skillful. Like play badminton or what. You still need to train or not? You already know how to ride. The moment they give you the bicycle, you already skillful. You go on it. No need to train already. Spontaneously, you know how to do it. It's a part of you. Like badminton. The racket, no matter 30 years, 40 years never hold also. The moment I hold, I know how to flick. Yeah, the stroke is there. I don't lose it. But stamina-wise, different. Well, the body cannot have that type of stamina already. So that is the only deal. But the skill, once you have developed it, it is with you. So you don't need to train already. But you are skillful already. But those who want to become world champion or something different, well, they train what? Train their stamina. Train their aggressiveness, and then train how to win. That one train That one use the thought, understand? But the one that is skillful, don't use thought. Spontaneous. When you are skillful, you just spontaneously know what to do. You just return, and it's very far. No gap one. That's why it's a flick. Badminton is about flick. It's not like tennis. Tennis, you have to use your swing. Understand? So when you understand, you know how to apply the appropriate understanding, then you become skillful. So this one that need practice are repetitive thing to make yourself skillful. But when it comes to meditation, it's not a practice, it's a cultivation. You have to cultivate through understanding. Then when you cultivate, you will know that you need heedfulness. And to be heedful, you need to be ever mindful. So you train your mind to be mindful, then stabilize it. Then after that, don't do anything already. Silent. Use that silent mind, the ever mindful state of mind, to insight into phenomena, to awaken. That one is not a practice, understand not? That one is silently aware. Then it will awaken. Okay? Yeah. Then we continue. Huh? Next one.
1.3. Question 1. Brother Teo, can you explain more about the heart? Is it the same as citta? Brother Teo answered, do not cling to the words. When you have developed the cultivation correctly, then you will come to understand those related Pali words very clearly. Sometimes they use the words citta, vijnana, and mano. All three terms are synonymous with mind. Mano is commonly used in Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 as the mind that arises to create the citta and vijnana. The reason why the Buddha said mind is a forerunner of all things, whereas vijnana is usually taken to mean the pure consciousness or receptacle, which is the last aggregate of mind. Then when one adds in the content of consciousness, which is sankhara, it becomes citta or thought. Thought or citta is the content of consciousness plus vijnana.
Ah, wait, I have to explain a bit. This one is not easy to understand. How many of you really can understand? Huh? Cannot. Because this is not easy. Huh? You know what is mano or not? Mano, of course, the mind. Understand not? Then what is citta? What is vijnana? Like I explained just now. Your four aggregate of mind, what are they? Vedana, sanya, sankara, the last one is what? What is vijnana? Consciousness, understand not? It's just a consciousness without its content yet. So what is its content? Very good. Wow, now not bad. So Vedana, we go back. That day I already explained. So now I hope it becomes clearer. Vedana, sanya, sankara, and vijnana. Double N, or single N? Double N. So you see, the Buddha said these are the four aggregate of mind. Four aggregate of mind. So, 1, 2, 3, 4. Four aggregates of mind. Of mind. Okay, wait. Yeah, how to spell? V? N-N-A. Oh, okay. Yeah, this N terbalik. Yeah, correct. Yeah. V-I-N-N-A. Okay, yeah. So what happened is, you know this is consciousness. Like when you see something, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness. Understand? So this is the pure vijnana, the aggregate of consciousness. Where the mind can be conscious of things. You understand? Yeah? So this is the pure consciousness. So this is a pure consciousness without its content. Then what is its content? You remember? Sankhara is everything that your mind can do. Content of consciousness. So this is everything that the mind can do. The mind can do. Including what? One and two. Including Vedana and Sanya. The Buddha separate this because these two are useful. Vedana and Sanya. Because Vedana is neither in the dependent origination. Upon contact, feeling arise. Then, sanya is required because this is the one that brings the external form into the mind. Understand? So these three together becomes the content of consciousness. Understand? So this is how, when this come into this, then this whole thing become citta. This is the thought. So this is citta. That's why in the text, you realize or not, the four foundations of mindfulness. Which of the three Pali words did the Buddha use? He used the third foundation is what? Citta nupassana. Why don't he use mano nupassana? Vijnana nupassana. Because this is the thought. And inside citta nupassana, what did the Buddha say? When the content of consciousness has greed, that's why it's the thought with its content. You must be aware. Understand not? When the citta is peaceful, means it has the sankhara mind state of peacefulness, you must be aware. When the citta has the evil root of anger, hatred, fear, delusion, you must be aware. That is what citta nupassana is all about. So when you are aware, means what? Yeah? You mean aware means meditate? No. Aware means you are aware that this mind has this evil root inside there. Understand? Not? You remember Vedana Nupassana, the second foundation. What did the Buddha say? When there is a pleasant feeling, you must be aware. What is pleasant feeling? The five mental hindrance. Good feeling. What is good feeling? Sensual desire. Means sensual desire is there. Understand? Not? This is what the four foundation is all about. That's why under Kaya Nupassana, stress again, mindfulness of the five mental hindrance. But first, he has to teach you feeling. But from feeling, it conditions craving. Understand? Not? So craving is what? Like and dislike. Pleasant and unpleasant. That's why under Vedana Nupassana, he said, no need to go deep. Understand? Not? Just understand that this feeling has become craving, sensual desire, or ill will. Means mental hindrance already there. That's why you have to be aware. When you are aware, you know the mental hindrance is there. You cannot meditate already. So what you have to do? Then the third one is what? Neutral feeling. So neutral feeling can be due to indifference. It's not upekkha, understand? Not? So these are the training for you to understand that your mind has moved. Understand? Not? Move from pure feeling to craving, positive and negative, understand? Not? That's how the mental hindrance come to be. Then when it moves from feeling to content of consciousness, means citta nupassana, you go deep into the content, understand? Not? It's no more just generally say pleasant, unpleasant. So the content of consciousness got 52, understand? Not? So you have to look at all the 52. That's why it's different. That's why when this citta is in the state of peace, aware, stillness, or expansive, constricted, you have to be aware. Yeah, this is sankhara, adasara, the content of consciousness. So the content of consciousness is what you input. Then you start to see what are they. So when the citta, the content of consciousness has greed, you must be aware. It means the evil roots are there. And greed can be selfishness, understand? Not? Can be craving, possessiveness, desire, lust. All these are part of greed. So when you are aware, all this movement, you are aware, then you realize these are the evil root. Arise already, make you evil. Then how it stir, how it condition you into emotion. You're supposed to understand all this, the content of consciousness. Then what you do? You have to use the Dhamma to awaken, understand? Not? They say after that only you go to Dhamma Nupassana. So Dhamma Nupassana, the Buddha teach very specific already. First thing he wants you to understand is the five mental hindrance. That's why he said you have to be mindful of the five mental hindrance. When the mental hindrance is there, what will it do to you? It will hinder your mind. What is mental hindrance? Hinder your mind from? Entering the meditative state, isn't it? That's why it's called mental hindrance. Means you cannot meditate already. That's why you don't go and label it pain, pain, pain. Understand? Don't go and create mental hindrance. Thinking, 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 restlessness and all that. The moment you label, you create mental hindrance, that it will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. That's why this foundation of mindfulness is very useful. Then when you understand that these are the ones that make you heedless, that are responsible for your heedless thinking, then what must you do? Yeah? What did the Buddha say? Cultivate the opposite five to counter these. Understand? So when you have this five, this hindrance will cease. So you don't go and fight it, suppress it, control it, and do anything to it. You just aware. The moment you're aware, don't create. Understand? Let it be. When you let it be, what happens? Like pain. When you don't labor. Recognize the distraction, then what happens? What do? That monk teach you. No, before that, release. Understand not? Don't have anything to do with it. Understand not? Release. Then, because like you say, it's a distraction, it's a sensation that you don't like. But as long as you don't go and label it as a pain, then it's not a mental hindrance. So when there is no mental hindrance, your mind can enter the meditative state, isn't it? So to enter the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness, what must you do? You have to silence your mind, isn't it? That's why silence your mind and relax into it. That's what I told you to do. Silent, relax into it. That's why this monk also know. After you recognize, release, then relax into it. Now, when relax into it, there is no more mental hindrance, no more blockage of qi. Mindfulness take over. Understand? That's why you become quiet, peaceful. There is no more a distraction. Then meditation becomes simple. And sometimes he's scared, he's not relaxed enough. What did he teach you? The fourth R. Smile. When you smile, you cannot be intentional. Smile means there is joy. That's why your facial muscle all release by itself. Then when you are happy, you are peaceful. Then after that, what he do? The fifth R? Return. Not repeat yet. Return to? Anapanasati. Means he's going to train his mind in Anapanasati. He hasn't trained, understand not? But if you already train, your mind already in sati, silent, in the state of pasati, then why must you go back and, why must you return to Anapanasati? Anapanasati, you do until what happened? Until the breath become very subtle, remember? Until no movement, When there is no movement, means the mind has become so quiet. Your vibration has become so quiet, like I explained inside there. After it becomes so quiet, it becomes so still, so tranquil. That's why pasati is tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. When that one arrives, you have progress. Understand? Huh? That is your silent mind. That is your true mind. That is your major. But you don't know. If nobody tells you, I don't explain, you know what you'll do or not. When you know how to relax and experience that, they get excited, understand? Then what come in? You want to know. The thought come in, understand? Oh, what is that? Then the thought try to tell you, wow, I think that is something very special. Then you go and check, that is pasati. You progress already, you're very good. Then you use your thought, crave for that, every time meditate, I want to reach the state of pasati. So what you do? You crave for it. The thought, every time thinking about it, then you are not doing the silent mind meditation. You are not doing the real meditation. You're supposed to train your mind to be in sati, stabilize it until it becomes so quiet, so still. Then you continue to silent. Silent means what? Until this mindfulness don't need the breathing. Understand? Not? It's like your object of meditation, which is like your float. Understand? Not? When you don't need the anapanasati to be mindful, that is when the mind enter sati. Do you understand? That's why naturally this life I know what to do. When I reach that stillness, I got no more breathing, so subtle. Then later on, when the mindfulness come back, when I reach the more refined mindfulness, this mind that is in sati is so sensitive. Then I can start to feel the subtle breathing again, the slight movement, but like magnified, like a lot of things inside there. Then wherever I locate this mind, because after that, when I can detect this subtle breathing, then I realize every movement that I make, because sometimes I have to straighten my back, inside, the very slight movement, like magnifying, you know, the whole thing, like the whole thing become a very big movement. Then after that, I realize when I come out of the meditation, everything is like a flow. Then I realize this is a different type of mind. The awareness is there. Then after that, when my anapanasati, I can do until the breathing go until my heart here. You those who do anapanasati will know that. You finally, the breathing go down to your heart area. Then because I met my last guy, but before I met my last guy, I already know what this thing is. So what I did was, I just relax and I silent. Then my anapanasati becomes so still. So I was with this subtle breathing and my mind enters sati. Then I with all these things, my mindfulness came, my daily mindfulness came, then I developed the Dhamma understanding. Then after that, when I met my teacher, he located the gateway, you remember? I already know how to relax, aware, and almost 24 hours. Then the moment he locate that gateway, you know what happened? All my energy flow in, the yin-yang. Then I don't need him already. He didn't even explain anything to me. He didn't even tell me all this. Then I knew what happened. Right? Then my whole mind becomes so still. Then I realized wherever I locate that mind, after that, in the brain or what, this awareness like can go in, very sensitive. Then I don't need stethoscope to feel my heartbeat. I just stay there. Then it's aware, it's very clear. Then I just relax into it, silent. Then everything slow down until no movement. That's how I know. That's how I understand all this. Then after that, the mind is so different. It can just insight. Because throughout the day it's aware, like I described. Hardly any thought. And luckily, I was not trapped in the defilement of insight. Because I was not complacent. I continue to do, and because of my past, the condition arise, then everything come. I inherited them. Then the understanding arise. So this word, citta, is the thought. It's the pure awareness, consciousness, which is a receptacle that holds this content. That's why it becomes citta. You understand? And the vijnanam is referring to actually just this. But a lot of people use vijnanam as the thought. Because they say when you are conscious, then all the content is inside there already. That's why they use this interchangeably. Sometimes they use citta, sometimes they use vijnanam. But the Buddha is very specific. Under the third foundation, he used citta. Then under the four aggregate, he used vijnanam. Then the Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. You ask Brother Te. Is the word mano used? Mano, mind is the forerunner. He used the word mano. Because that was the mind. And that mind is before it becomes citta, understand? Because from the pure awareness, that mundane mind come out, understand? Then come out, then get itself entangled and become the citta. That's why mano is the beginning of that mundane mind. The first thought of ignorance, that condition until over a long period, then that mano, when you take birth as a baby, is not complicated one. It's very simple. The rebirth consciousness is one consciousness, but it inherit all your karmic nature, your karmic past. You are born of it, your characteristics, your DNA, all coded inside there. Then from that simple rebirth consciousness, it starts to become complicated. You know how it becomes complicated? After the parent or the mother or the guardian or the, now they got Indonesian maid. After the maid, go and teach them. Then you say, Papa. I think the first one is Mama. Papa first or Mama first? Mama. So then they learn. Then later on they eat. You say, this is sweet. Nice or not? Nice. I tell you, if you teach a kid from young to like bitter, he will like bitter thing. To him, bitter is very nice. Sweet, he don't like. Because it's a conditioning. Understand? It's what you tell them. That's why different culture, different place, they like different food. Not like Asian. Asian must have rice. Isn't it? You go Kuai Lo, got rice or not? Nowadays, maybe got influenced by Asian. Last time, don't have rice or no. You go to Western country for tour, last time I remember. Wow, I remember the first time I took my whole family to LA, America, I think 1996. Because that time, I want to bring my whole family there. You know what happened? Every day or so, the breakfast in the hotel, you know what? All Western one, no. Wow, eat until scared, no. No rice, no. No nasi lemak, nothing, no. Then the moment we are on our own, you know what we do, no? Not only nasi lemak, go Chinatown. Well, no. Then luckily my hotel near one Chinese restaurant, no. At the time, the Chinese restaurant was very good, no. It's a restaurant, no. Proper one, no. Like hotel, like that, but not the expensive one. So I went. So I thought expensive, no. I call fried rice and call some veggie for my children. I didn't know it was so cheap. No, the fried rice one plate, $2. No? Cheap or not? Oh. Now it's how much? That time was $2. No? And that time exchange rate 2.8 only. Not like now. Then I saw the menu price. Wow, can order, I tell my wife. I tell order. So, these are the things that you really, really appreciate. Then you learn. How did I end up with all this? But nothing to do with Chita. Go America, take fried rice. How did I end up here? Conditioning. Yeah, thank you, thank you. We focus, correct. Conditioning. The baby. Understand the baby young. The baby. Oh, I didn't try them. So this is the condition. Then you have I suppose I explained it. Your chitta become complicated. Understand? After you learn, then at first you very naive one, very cute one. Everybody like you one. But then later on, last time I remember she and my son, especially my son, you ask him for anything that he has in the hand, he will just give it to you one, no hesitation on. Nowadays kids, I don't think they do that. If they know sweet, they eat it before. Boy, give to me. He walk away. And that's all. Then you're not around, you go and take some more of you. Then he walk away. You realize that? That craving, that grip, yeah? You tell him, this is sweet, this is nice. Then go one time, you know my elder brother, what he did. Yeah, the son was so naughty. You know? Everything also want to come and take. You know? Then one day he said, come. But he said, I got this one, very nice one. You know what he gave? Chili. I tell you, the moment he tasted it, after that he never touched. Anything similar also, look similar also, he never touched. He don't believe you anymore. You understand that? That is the condition. Then you grow up, you become cunning. Because parent become cunning, parent also lie. He also learn how to lie. Then he learn how to get things his way. So as his memory become more and more complicated, so this consciousness, which is a bundle of brain, memory, your views, opinion, conditioning from what? From your parents, from the newspaper you read, from the internet, from everything you learn in the school and all those things. Understand? The influence of your friend, a politician is worse. So all this mold you, understand? And then you become so sophisticated. So that is what memory is all about. But initially, the consciousness, what I want to tell you is very clean. Understand? Initially, the boy, 1 day old, 2 day old, pure consciousness. Like enlightened beings' consciousness. But no memory, nothing. That's why it cannot create thought. And they don't know what this thing is. They see things as they are. They are very innocent. Then got problem? Cry. Wet? Cry. Hungry? Cry. This is natural response of a human body, isn't it? So then you understand these are all natural, like polite, come to understand all this. So this is how when you are mindful, you are sensitive, you learn a lot of things, you can see a lot of things. Yeah. So this part I think you clear now. Yeah? Very good. Okay, so these three words, no more problem. Read the last paragraph.
Heart is Sing in Mandarin or Mahayana term. The heart is the seat of consciousness, and it is also the gateway to our nature. So if we live from the heart, it means live with pure awareness before the thought. But the moment we introduce the sankhara, or content of consciousness, everything that the mind can do, via the brain, then thought or citta will arise. So the user of thought is very important. If the user is deluded, then the thoughts that arise become wrong thoughts. If the user is wise, then thoughts become right thoughts. For more details, please refer to the recorded talk.
In the recorded talk, I mentioned a lot of things. Yeah. So far, yeah? Helpful or not? The English word, Jin Hao, you go and amend your e-book. The heart is the seat of consciousness. It's not S-E-E-D, you know, not the seed you plant outside, you know. You understand, no? It's the place it resides, you know. Sitting seed, you know, S-E-A-T, you know. That's why my wife last time got marked down, that's why she remember. Seed, pronunciation same as I. But it's S-E-A-T, where the mind resides, understand not? Where your heartbeat, your pulse of life is. That's why the life force come through there. That's why this is the seat of consciousness. This is where your consciousness arise and pass away. That's why your heartbeat, pupa. And the other thing now I want to share with you, this one I seldom share. When I was in that state, when the gateway went in, all the thing, you know what happened? The life force energy come, no? The pulse of life, no? My heartbeat, pop. You know what happened during that time? Because my mind was so different, the awareness was there. The whole of the life force, that whole of the life force energy, from your karmic nature, the life force energy, the moment it pulsated through that beat, the whole of the life force went into my nature. I used that to meditate. That's why after that, I'm very hungry. I need a lot of food. Because you know that life force is the energy that you use for what? You know you are using it for what? You go and, of course, beat the heart. After that, pump the blood. But beside that, what do you use it? You use it to think, understand not? And when you get angry, emotional, you use a lot of that life force, understand? That's why you are very, very stressed. You use up a lot of energy. Then fear, the movement. That one all use your life force energy. That's why you get angry very often. Understand? Your life become very short. Because all the life force, instead of using it to recuperate your body and all those things at night, when you are asleep, when your thought don't arise, the body heal itself, understand? But if you have all this negative energy fuel, mutate the cell, how to heal? The cell are all in trouble, understand? That's how you get into traumatic disease, cancer and all things. That's why stress is the fastest way to develop cancer. Somebody say something, illness. Yun Chan Nobi, she's involved with hospice. Then there's a doctor who told me, for no reason, 6 months ago, the patient, whole family, tested negative. Then 6 months later, almost everybody got cancer. How did it happen? Because during that 6 months, they got a lot of problems in the house. Very stressful. They go through a very stressful period. Then this doctor knew, That's why he says stress, number one killer. So you don't go and simply stress yourself out, understand? Unnecessary. Don't get angry with your children. Your kid is still a kid, understand? Now don't get angry with your spouse. That day I heard one Zen master, Mahayana, one talk. He said, you got the Dhamma already. You are very Taifong. You know what Taifong? 很大方. Means what? In English, call what? Huh? Generous. This one doesn't mean in that sense. You know what he said? After you have the Dhamma, if your spouse got affair outside, got what? Number three, they say number three. Xiao sana. Don't get angry. Understand? Look at it positively. He said, blessing in this guy. You know what he said? 叫他一起来念佛. Understand? 多一个佛友. I tell you, the lady, they all laugh. He said, you yourself also count him already. Heaven liberate from birth and death. You want to worry about his self son. That is his problem, understand? He haven't kena kama kau kau, understand? You want to go and get angry and go and fight with the self son. He said, for what? That's why nowadays more and more this type of teaching come out. I was laughing. It was quite humorous. Then after I go back, I told my wife. And this monk is quite famous. He was a lay person last time. Then because the mother, I think, got cancer, I don't know what. Then he made the vow. He said, if my mother recover, I go for. From quite a wealthy family. I think you all heard of him in Taiwan. Yes. What is the name? Hai Tao. And he not bad at all. He really understand a lot of things. Then he share. He got a teacher that he respected. He learned a lot of karmic things from this teacher. That's why he can tell you what your karma is and all things. Then he can also tell you, karma is not automatic. He said, need condition. He also know need condition. You know what happened? He said, let's say you got karma. Last time you divorce your wife, you make her miserable and all those things. Then this life you become the victim. Understand not? Become the victim. Then your boyfriend or your husband want to dump you. Understand not? But he say you have the Dhamma, you can avoid. You don't set the condition for it. Means what? Don't get jealous. Don't get angry. Welcome the self-son to be the family. He tell me like that. Because when you get angry, means what? Evil root there. Then you set the condition for it to happen. Then, if you continue like that book I wrote, Subang Jaya, he said, if you are suspicious of your husband, what happened? You every day nag him, no? Mei chu si. Compared with other people. No? Until he's so fed up, what happened? He walked out of the house. After he walked out of the house, what happened? Then you sit there, wait. Then your thoughts start. This fellow, come back, I'm going to tell him or handle him in this way. So you plan already, you plot already. Then what happened? After 12 o'clock also didn't come back. Then you start to panic. Don't know what happened. Make phone call. No reply. Phone switch off. Lagi angry. Then what happened? Wow, think. How can this guy cut off my phone? Shut off his phone. This is what your Monday might tell you now. And that thought is not you, not your friend. You go and believe that thought. Like Payan Kati, you never curse yourself. So these are wrong thoughts that make you furious. Understand? Then what happened? Waited until maybe 3, 4 a.m. Come back drunk. Understand? Then you start to open up your machine gun. Why don't you on your handphone? Why you cut off my phone? Look, bo kia si ah. You dare to do this to me and all those things. So what happened? Worse, isn't it? Then after that, somehow, outside, maybe they got the Xiao Long Ni. Treat them very nicely, drink with them, sweet talk them. Then this form of mind is not stupid also. No? He know how to compare. No? Go back, nag, all this. Not happy, Go outside, so nice, Especially if you got those friends who are not so really Dhamma type one. They call it the heedless and the foolish one. You know what they tell you? Aiyah, forget about it lah. Wife is like that one lah. Come, I take you somewhere. Finish already. You go to that place. Then sometimes you didn't go home. How you end up in don't know what condition also you don't know. Then next day come out groggy. The what they call hangover. And then you make mistake and get into big trouble. So if you avoid the condition, understand your wife, understand your husband, that he must have problem. That's why he is in this state, so moody, not happy. So be sensitive. Then talk to him nicely. Is there anything that happened in the office? It doesn't look normal. It doesn't look happy. So talk to them nicely using noble evil power. Then show your concern. Then be a good wife. Do your duty. Help him resolve all this. They say, don't worry, I'm fully behind you. If your boss is unreasonable, no need to work. Never mind. We become more frugal. Understand? Oh, then with that type of support, he will love you, he will like you. Then he say, yeah, at least my wife understands me. In the office, nobody understands me. So it becomes different. But if you start to nag, not sensitive, do all the funny thing, even your children also will run away from you. Understand? So these are the things that when you have the Noble Eightfold Path, you can make a difference. You can create different conditions. You can develop the understanding to benefit people, to express your sincerity, your kindness. This is what Dhamma is about, doing your duty, having Noble Eightfold Path quality. Okay, what time now? Oh, yeah, I have to do chanting, huh? So another 3 minutes, we stop at 9 o'clock. Okay, we did very well today. Page 93 already. Oh, we finished 93. Oh, very good. Yeah, okay, stop here. So we start our chanting. Come. Song, brother song, I think.